Our scripture for this morning is from the 1 Corinthians 13, one that you are so familiar with. I have printed in the bulletin this from the New Living Translation. It's a little bit different than the one you are used to, but read this with me, if you will. You can read silently while I read out loud. That'd be good. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. And so greetings to all of you. Somehow this feels like home. Sue and I are really, really glad to be with you today. June, in some circles, and it used to be here in Bosque Dell's circle when I was here, is Christian Home and Family Month. And I have a couple of things for your memory, so dig back, if you will, on things that we should remember here. Well, one thing is June 1st, 2021. Well, that's almost exactly 2 years ago. Actually, if you take the one of the ones off 11, this would be June 1st, wouldn't it? Yes. Some pastor that you had for about 18 years had just passed his 80th birthday and had the audacity to announce that he was retiring from this pulpit. It's a sad day for all of us, but these things happen. And again, I want to say thank you, all of Bosque Dell Baptist, for so many wonderful, now treasured years. A second memory test for you. Do you remember that when I was here, I conducted every June as Christian Home and Family Month? I hope that's your memory, because I'm now going to suggest that same emphasis for our thoughts for this morning. And I do so with the approval of your interim pastor for now, Pastor Cooper. He and I talked about this, and he said, sure, that would be great. I don't like to do things that he's not doing now, but maybe he'll revive that. I don't know. Anyway, he approved this. So you also may remember that the Christian Home emphasis included Mother's Day in May, Children's Sunday is the first Sunday of June, and Father's Day, the third Sunday of June. So remembering all of that, the good Lord led me to speak to you today on a central and fundamental emphasis in all of our Christian homes and families, home and family, including this, your church home and your church family, with a message that I titled, The Last Word for the Christian Family Home, Love. Last word meaning basic word, the strong holding anchor of it all. Because as one of God's greatest spokesman, Paul, tells us in the first verse of our scripture text for today, 1 Corinthians 13:1, out of all other words in any language of the world, and even in the language of the angels, without love, all other words are only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. They're just vibrations in the ear. They just stall in the head, and they don't reach the heart like love does. Well, there's a true test of love in the home, in the family. And that true test is action. What is love in action? Well, the New Testament doesn't actually give a definition of love. It describes love in action. Let me give you love described in the arena of family living. And what I'm giving you is a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, the first seven verses. The author of this paraphrase is unknown to me, but hear this paraphrase this way, in the arena of family living. It's not exactly the way Paul gave it to us, but his word is to apply to all areas of our lives generally. But it goes like this. Though in the glamour of the public eye, I sway the emotions of man by oratory, or by my silver singing, or by my skillful playing, and then go home and gripe because supper is late, or because my clothes weren't made to suit me, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I am able to impress others with my vast knowledge of the deep things of the Word of God, and though I am able to accomplish mighty things through faith, so that I become famous among men as a remover of mountains, and have not the love that reads the deep longings of the hearts around the family circle, and removes the barriers that grow up in shy and tender hearts, I am nothing. And though in the glamour of public praise, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I win the name and fame of a martyr by giving my body to be burned, and yet close up like a clam at home and know nothing of glory of giving myself in unstinted, self-denying service to those nearest and dearest to my heart, it profits me nothing. Love is the acid test of the truly yielded life. We're still in the paraphrase. Because in all other phases of Christian service, there is a certain amount of glamour. But in the home, you're confronted with the bare facts of life, stripped of all glamour. The home is given to help every Christian not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And it is in the home that we have the privilege of demonstrating that the Christian life is faith which works by love. I have to say, while that paraphrase took a whole lot of literary license, it certainly brought the concept of love at home and love in the family setting pretty much to the forefront, didn't it? You see, love puts it all together. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God, shows how all of the negative words are taken away. They're discarded. Envy, boasting, pride, disparaging others, self-seeking, easily angered, keeping score of wrongs of others, and then more attitudes that we know are bad or wrong. All of that is replaced by love. Rejoicing in truth, protecting, trusting, persevering, all put together by love to give meaning and momentum to the Christian life. Love is patient and kind. The church its leaders and its people can, not can, but should offer the same love as a family as this is in the home. But there's an actual demonstration of love in the home. There's a reality that we call the voices of love. The first sounds that we need to hear from birth are the voices of love. More than we know, deeper than we are able to understand, an infant listens and responds to the sounds of love. Love is essential to a positive life from the very first days of life and continuing all through life. You know, actual modern research has revealed that a much higher mortality rate among infants who don't receive personal loving care, that happens as they begin their journey into life if they don't receive this personal loving care. Love gives the will to live. Offering a child only a little love or just some occasional attention weakens the desire for life in that young and fragile frame of a baby. They need to hear, we all always need to hear voices of love. And then there are the faces and the looks of love. And there's no better place to start seeing records of that than looking in the Bible. Look at glory and glowing or shining in a face in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "The light of the knowledge of the glory of God was in the face of Jesus Christ." Numbers chapter 6, verse 25. Moses told Aaron and the priests that they were to bless the people of Israel by telling them, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you." And throughout the Bible, looking into the face of God is to see the reality of God, since God is love. It's what 1 John 4:8 tells us. Looking to the face of God is to look to love. God is love. The psalmist did not ever want to lose the love of God, and so he prayed, Psalm 143:7, "Do not hide your face from me." This, of course, is not exactly physical, but are we not made in the image of God? We are. Well, if what is seen in the face of God, the shine or the glow of love, is that not what our families in the home, in our church, would do best seeing reflected in our faces? And just an additional word about seeing face. The truth is, a person's face can speak, it can communicate far more honestly and truthfully by how it appears than by 100 words, we might say. I said a moment ago, there is the face, and then I added the other descriptive ingredient, the look of love, the face and the look of love. There's a great story near the beginning of our Bible in Genesis 27, and then it moves on to chapters 32 and 33. I'm sure you remember this story, perhaps maybe not all the details, but it's a story of Jacob and Isaac and Esau. Jacob was the son of Isaac. He was younger than Isaac's son, other son, Esau. Jacob's, younger than Esau. And then with some sneaky shenanigans, Jacob and his mother, Rachel, tricked old and almost blind Isaac into giving his final blessing to Jacob rather than to the one, the true recipient who should have been given that blessing, the eldest son, Esau. When Esau learned how Jacob had deceived Isaac and had received the father's final blessing, Esau was so angry that he swore that when Isaac died, he would get Jacob. He said he would kill him. Well, Mother Rachel overheard Esau's threat, and she sent Jacob away with just the clothes on his back to a distant land to live there until Esau's anger subsided. So going over to chapter 32, Jacob had spent 20 years away from home, and he'd built up many possessions and riches of a large family and animals and servants. And now, 20 years later, he's on his way home. And he had a plan. Knowing that he would soon see Esau, Jacob sent messengers on ahead of him to Esau, telling him that he was coming and that he had lots of stuff. He had several kinds of animals and family and male and female servants. And the story goes, when the messengers returned telling Jacob what Esau was doing, they told him that Esau was coming out to meet him with 400 men, scared Jacob to death. But Esau surprised Jacob with an accepting and loving reception. And Jacob saw God in the face of Esau when Jacob experienced his brother's forgiveness. Genesis 33:10 says, Jacob said to Esau, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably." Well, we read the faces of significant people, hoping to see the look of love. The love kind of look has many, many meanings. Some examples are a look of appreciation, of understanding, of trust, of assurance, of encouragement, of respect. In endless ways, and virtually in every circumstance, those who most need our love search our faces for the look of love that they are needing most. Well, wrapping this up for now, love is so beautiful. It is so treasured, so essential. So much of all of that speaking clearly for us to know that love is essential. Love is without a doubt the last word in family relationships, in the home and in the church family. That which is highest in God, that four-letter word, love, speaks to that which is deepest in us, the desire, yes, even more, our need for love. And I would remind you, the first sounds that call us to a very positive life are the voices of love. And growing and learning ourselves to love takes hold and grows through experiences with those who love, because the supreme being is the identity of love itself. That God first loved them. When we are loved, it is not based on whether or not we are lovable. Rather, it is because love himself is in the hearts of those who love us. A verse of Fanny Crosby's great hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." Hope you remember that one. But this verse goes like this. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Those are great redemptive thoughts that blessed hymn writer gave to us. But I can't conclude all of these thoughts for today as well as or better than the Apostle John's God-inspired words of 1 John 4:7. We got 4:8 before, God is love. 4:7 is a verse that speaks loudly and proudly, profoundly to us in our Christian families, in our home family, in our church family. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Amen, Milton? Amen. Amen.